Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you all for joining us today. I also want to have a special thanks to everybody that's listening. Share the show with friends and associates. We just hit over 420,000 listeners. So I want to thank you for all that. Hey, you know, let's talk a little bit about today. Before the pandemic, American workers were already stressed to the tune of $190 billion annually in healthcare expenses. The World Health Organization had declared burnout a syndrome caused by unrelenting stress that never got handled. And you know what? We've been living in COVID-19 for the last year. We've seen devastation in the news. Parents are worried about their children. Fact is, people started working remotely. While remote work can lead to overworked employees that sit on computers all day, you know, they never go outside. You know what? You can look at me. I look like I don't even get vitamin D. And they suffer a lot of loneliness. And you know what? It's time to banish that burnout. That's why we have Janet Litvin. She's the author of Banish Burnout Toolkit to help us go from stress to success. We're very happy to have her. Today, I'll be talking about the three things you need to do to have a successful tax season. And after that, did you know bank and credit card fees cost Americans roughly $200 billion a year? Luckily, there's several services that for a minimal fee can reduce or eliminate these fees. We have Paul Kesarwani, the founder and CEO of Cushion. Cushion has saved consumers more than $5 million in bank and credit card fees since its founding in 2018. So that's something else. Now, let's get to our first guest. This is Janice's book. It's called Banish Burnout Toolkit. And I love Janice's mission. And I'm very excited because I have a daughter in college and a son in college, and they're dealing with these things here. And the tools in this book are so helpful to everybody that's dealing with this. And then I want to kick out our mission. Janice's mission is to help leaders and teams banish burnout in their organization so employees can come to work healthy, happy, and ready to work. Wouldn't you just love that? I mean, just on a regular day. Janice, welcome to the show. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm really excited that you're here.
Thank you so much, Steve. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, so before we get rolling in this, I know that you've got 20 years in HR, IT, and other things. You're a coach. You have some programs to help people. How did you get started in you know, the stress relief business, so to speak?
It's funny. It's kind of a long story, but I'll shorten it for you. About 5 years ago, a client called me up and said, we want you to do a program about stress, but we don't want the typical mindfulness, meditation, sleep, self-care kind of stress. While all those things are important, so many people are already doing that. We want you to go deep. And I said, are you sure? I can go really deep. So I had done a lot of work on myself, and I had already been studying about cognitive behavior therapy, which is basically what I had been doing my whole life, my whole adult life. And so basically, I had a book from a friend, and I called him up and I said, I love some of the concepts in here. I would like to pay you a royalty. He said, you don't have to do that. I don't own the content. It's owned by the Albert Ellis Institute. Albert Ellis is one of the co-founders of cognitive behavior therapy. So I created this program and I called it Banish Burnout, Move from Stress to Success, to help people understand how they normally react to stress and then how to help them change it.
Oh, okay. That's okay. So here's the first question. I've been waiting to, you call it a stress audit. Okay.
Yes.
Why you need one and how to conduct it.
Okay. That's perfect. So before you do the stress audit, you have to understand one more piece. So together they make the tool called Stop and Audit. Okay. So the stop part stands for stop, take a deep breath, observe, and then proceed. What that means is when you're in the midst of a stressful situation, somebody rear-ended you, you're in a long line, you can't find something you need in the store, and you're in a hurry, and you get upset. Anytime you start to feel upset, it's normal human behavior to react. But the question is, how upset do you have to get, and how long do you have to stay there? So what STOP helps you do is to take the reaction out of the fear center of the brain, the amygdala, and bring it to the prefrontal cortex so that you can grab control of your overreacting thoughts and say, do I really want to be this upset over this situation? I mean, there's a long line in Starbucks and the mother at the counter is like, honey, do you want the lemon or the cherry? And you want to tear your hair out. That's okay. That's kind of all that kind of stuff happens every single day of the week. Disagreements happen, disagreements at work, disagreement with friends. How upset do you have to get? It doesn't hurt the other person when you're upset. It only hurts you. So the observe part of STOP takes you then to the stress audit. In the stress audit, we need to understand how we are already reacting to stress. Starts with the physiology. When people get upset, things happen physiologically. Elevated heart rate, clenching jaw, knots in the stomach. We all have them. One person even told me she gets rashes, headaches, neck aches, all those kinds of things. Sometimes that's the only clue that you're having a reaction, because in a meeting, you're not going to argue, even though you might be upset. If you pay attention to your body, it'll tell you, hey, I'm not happy. And then as soon as possible after the meeting, work the stress audit, which helps you understand what happened, how you reacted physically, emotionally, verbally, how upset did you get, and what, if any, addictive behavior did you engage in?
I think that's wonderful, because my thing throughout my whole working career is sometimes you get caught off guard and somebody says something to you that you didn't, it just hits you in the core, so to speak. And it's part of the emotional baggage stuff. I know that, or I realize that now, but you know what, you want to say something, but you don't know the right thing to say because you don't want to overreact. So right. I think it's really great, because I've led many organizations before, and just taking a big, deep breath. And I saw that as part of the STOP, is just taking that big, deep breath slowly, but surely, and try and think, because sometimes you're like, I can't think. I don't know what to say.
Right. And Rollo May taught that it's really important to stop and pause so that you have time to think before you react, because you don't want to just be out there reacting. We get defensive, we get angry, we start a big fight, things get volatile emotionally, verbally. We want to stop. And if you can't think of something to say, say, I'll get back to you, or just pause. Sometimes I recently read something that said, if you need time to think, and it depends on what the other person said, but if it's sort of confrontational, you might say to the other person, would you repeat that? What did you just say to me? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that fixes it.
Yeah. You know what? In fact, sometimes I don't even hear what they said when it's a bad thing, you know, it's like, okay, that, I knew it was bad, but I didn't hear it. I totally get that. Here's you know what, that goes into the next thing, which is unpacking your emotional baggage. Because I think a lot of, you know what, just reading your book and thinking about the way I've reacted, and I'm not a person that reacts a lot, but when I do, it's not really angry or yelling or anything like that, but I can feel it in my body. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why is that occurring? I have no clue. But when I read the part on unpacking your baggage, could you help people understand that?
Yes, it is my contention, and I'm sorry I don't have the statistics to back it up, but I've talked to a lot of people in the field about this. It is my contention that a huge majority of Americans have not unpacked their emotional baggage. So what do I mean by that? If you notice somebody at work or at home who's having an extreme reaction to something that's a minor thing, that's a clue that they're still hanging on to something from their usually childhood. It could be from a parent, a teacher, or a peer. It could be something that happened in a prior job. Whatever it is, they're reacting to something from the past. For example, some people are still looking for love from their parents because they didn't get the right kind of upbringing and show of love and emotional support from their parents. Parents might be gone already. And the person is still hanging on and still reacting to that hole in their heart. So it's, I believe that we all, and I've done it, and everybody around me has done it, to dig deep into the past, and either with the help of a therapist or working on your own kind of journaling, that's where you can find out what's going on inside you. Whenever you yourself have a reaction to something that you see is a little extreme, it's time to get out your pen and paper. And by the way, research shows that writing with a pen and paper, not typing on a device, although that's better than nothing, but writing with a pen and paper actually has a deeper connection to the brain and gets more out. And then you can say, oh, and then things start writing. Daniel Pink talks about this. Things come out that you didn't even know were bothering you. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that was connected to this.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I do believe in the writing things down because I'm a gratitude person. So every morning there's things I'm grateful for. And I found that even in the worst times of life, just writing those things down make all the difference in the world. And I, you know, people keep asking me why I have a little journal that I do that with. So, and I write a few other things on there as well. Why don't we go ahead and take a quick break right now? And we'll be right back. So stick with us. We have more with Janice Lifton. We're talking about banishing burnout, going from stress to success. Whether you're in college, whether you're working, whether you're a house mom or a wife or taking care of the kids, you really want to listen to this. You really want to look at this book because it could make a difference. It's already me reading it myself has already made a difference for me. So look, we'll be right back. Just a couple minutes here. Got to pay some bills.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. Hey, I just truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you'll never miss a show. Hey, by the way, check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Hey, you can also follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Sexton Insider Club, savingwithsteve.us, and get all your replays, exclusive gifts, and more. So we're back with Janice. Janice is helping us get rid of the burnout, the stress, and the so on. And you know what? I want to first talk about, after we got off your emotional baggage, you say, first stop changing your behavior by building awareness.
Yes. So that was impacted by the stress audit and the stop mm-hmm. process. Those are the first keys. The second keys or the second tool in the toolkit is about looking at your typical reactions. So in general, the typical reactions to stress are overreaction and overgeneralization. Let me give you an example. If you're, like I talked about before, if you're in a long line at Starbucks and the mom at the front of the counter is going, honey, do you want the lemon or the chocolate? And you're in a hurry, you've got to get to work. You start to build up these reactions, like I said before, in your body, your heart is pounding, and you might even start saying something. Or let's say you're in a store looking for something and you know they have this particular thing, but you can't find it, and you're getting irritated because you have to be somewhere and you start to build up these little tapes in your head. Oh my God, I can't believe I can't find this. They told me they had it. They pointed to that corner. I'm in this corner. I can't find it. I can't believe they're so stupid. How could they do that? I hate it when they point. And you start saying all these things. And then you start to walk to go find someone to help you and you're running more tapes. I'm going to let them know how stupid they are. And all of it, and this is a true story. This happened to me. And I had this little talk to myself after I had been obviously working on myself. And I said to myself, you are going to stop overreacting and you are going to smile at the person at the counter and you're going to say, how's your day going? And get them to smile. And then you're going to say, would you please help me? I can't find this blue sweater or whatever it is you're looking for. So it's good to know that your overreactions are typical, but the important part is to grab control and interrupt the negative thoughts and then reality spin those thoughts and say, this is not that big a deal. Is anybody in the hospital? Is anybody got suddenly broken legs? No, this situation does not need to be this extreme. Let this go. So it gives you perspective so that you're not always overreacting in life.
I also see that a lot with text messages and emails.
Where really?
People have no clue about the emotion and they're like, oh my God, they said this. And you're like going, really? I didn't read that in there. But you know,
right.
And the other part with that scenario you just talked about, see, that's where you ask somebody for help and they come right back in front of your face and say, there it is.
Yes. You know, you brought up a funny story. When my son was in high school, he was breaking up with this girl. And I said, you know, you might want to pick up the phone. I don't think texting is the way to break up with somebody. So, you know, now, of course, he's grown out of that thing, thankfully. But a lot of people are using text for all kinds of communication rather than I'll see you at 6.
Yeah, but there's no emotion there. There's no feeling. You can't see somebody's face. You can't do any of that. And it doesn't matter what the message is. It just comes off sometimes wrong. And people read into it and they get the next one. And they read into something else. And then, like you said, it just snowballs and gets bigger and bigger. And pretty soon somebody's upset with you and you have no idea why. And I call it, you know, the driver that cuts you off on the road syndrome.
Right. You're like, when you're yelling at the car, nobody can hear you. You're alone in your car. So why are you yelling?
Okay. So I'd like to talk about how you can keep things at arm's length. A lot of people, you know, they don't enable themselves to keep things at arm's length to protect themselves.
Right. I think you're talking about setting healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Okay. So it's interesting to me. And I was like this too. I did not know how to say no. And I wanted everyone to like me. I was a people pleaser. I was a young adult. And until I learned how to say no, I was always like chasing approval from everyone else but myself. And I finally realized that if I learned to set my own boundaries, that I would be happier. The other person might be upset with me, but that's on them. And I'll never forget one time a friend called me up on a week before she was going home to New York, and I'm in California. And she said, can you pick me up when I return? I said, sure. What time? She said, 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, on a Sunday night, I said, you know, I have a job and I have to be there by 8 o'clock, which means I have to get up by 6:30. There's no way I can pick you up at 1 o'clock and get enough sleep to have a decent day of work. And she started screaming and yelling, you're my friend. I can't believe this. A friend would pick me up. I said, I'm sorry. I can't. I wish I could. I'm so sorry. And she kept yelling and I kept saying, I'm sorry. I wish I could. I can't. And finally, she let it go. Now, eventually that friendship fizzled away, but that's not the kind of friends you want that are so demanding and have such unreasonable expectations that you're supposed to feel guilty.
Oh, I agree. You know what? I'm a cancer survivor. So all of those went away once that occurred.
Yes. I bet so. With all the perspective you suddenly had.
Oh yeah. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. How can anybody build habits for optimal wellness, performance, and focus? Because stress eliminates focus, productivity, the whole shot.
So it's really important to, first of all, set goals for yourself. No matter what they are, it could be workplace goals, health goals, personal habit goals. And it's all one big package. It's not just about setting the goals. It's helping yourself be mentally and physically and emotionally happy. So it might mean sitting down with your boss and saying, let's work on some goals for me. I want to manage my career and get to the next step. what would it take for me to get promoted by such and such a date with such and such possible salary promotion, 4%, 10%, whatever. But it's a matter of being clear with yourself and your family and the people at work that have an impact on your ability to improve through the organization. Sometimes it means asking for a mentor because you might have a boss that's not as emotionally intelligent, not as organized. I really recommend, and this is a separate tool in my toolkit, I believe it's chapter 6, find an accountability buddy and or a mentor. And I actually give scripts for how to email them, what to ask. Maybe somebody is very busy and they can only give you a month. Say, okay, could we meet every Monday at 8 a.m. for 20 minutes? I'll have one question each time and I only need you for 4 times. When you ask somebody to help you, be very specific and clear what it is you need help with and how much time. Because as you know, everybody's really busy these days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? I think that's wonderful. Accountability partners. I belong to mastermind groups and we kind of do the same thing for each other. And I think that's just outstanding because sometimes just being able to talk to somebody for 5 minutes makes all the difference in the world.
You know, it's funny. I was asked to write an article this week and it was a tiny bit outside my bailiwick. And I called one of my mentors and I said, I just want to brainstorm out loud. Sometimes I come up with my own answers, but knowing that you have somebody else outside yourself to brainstorm with helps you get. And then they'll say one little thing like, yeah, that's really great. Don't forget that your Banish Burnout Toolkit also addresses boundaries. And so then you throw that in and you've got your answer.
Yeah,
so
either that or,
and that could be a 5-minute phone conversation.
Either that or I've found that they've asked really good questions and I go, oh, I got it. Thanks. Appreciate it. See ya.
Exactly. I had a wonderful, wonderful boss many years ago, long before we knew what emotional intelligence was. He was emotionally intelligent. And I was a software support rep back in my tech days. And when I had a client that was upset, the first thing we were taught to do was try to acknowledge what was going on and then get them focused on the solution and then hang up, write it up and come back to them. And I would go into my boss and I would say, so-and-so's upset. Here's what I recommend. He said, that sounds really good. And don't forget, blah, blah, blah. Maybe blah, blah, blah was the bigger answer, but it made me feel that I had the knowledge and the power to create an answer for my clients.
That's wonderful. And you know what? I like the fact that you talk about having people connect with their boss and that way everybody's on the same page. And we've all been in work environments or other environments where people are just not on the same page. And that just means you're not going to get to where you want to go. Because everybody's not on the same page. But if everybody's on the same page, it's easy to do your part because everybody knows. So that's really cool.
And I will just add one more important thing about setting healthy boundaries at work. Needing to say no at work is not really necessarily saying no, but it's about helping your boss help you manage your time. So the boss comes to you with an exciting new project. Oh, guess what? I've got this great new project. And you say, okay, that's great. Do you see these 8 large piles on my desk? They might be virtual piles. Mm-hmm. But then you can go on to say, which of these other projects do you want me to stop working on or reschedule or dole out to somebody else? Because I'm very excited about this new project, but we are going to be burning out if we don't offload some of these other projects. So sometimes it's a matter of clarifying responsibilities and timelines.
That's wonderful. Hey, Janice, where can people get connected with you? Where can they buy your book? Because I totally recommend it. I'm already giving out to other people. So, you know, hope you don't mind.
But, of course not.
I just have about 20 seconds left. I was just wondering if you could share how people can connect with you to get your support, your coaching, as well as the book.
JaniceLidfin.com. Pretty simple. And the book page is name book.
Okay, perfect. That's awesome. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been a lot of fun. And I really excited to have you here. So with that, I hope you have a great day and maybe we'll have you in soon.
Thank you so much, Steve. I really appreciate it. It was a really fun interview.
You're welcome. We'll see you. Bye.
Bye.
Again, hey, we'll be right back with Paul Keswarwani from Cushion, looking to save you a whole bunch of money when it comes to bank fees and credit card fees.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the show. This is Steve Sexton. I want to just take a real quick moment here and say thank you to all the people for tuning in. I appreciate you sharing us with your friends, family, and associates. We just hit 420,000 listeners this last month, and we're looking to exceed that. Hey, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight at Saving and Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Hey, please check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, hey, follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Sexton Insiders Club for more financial tips and information. At savingwithsteve.us, you get all the replays, exclusive gifts from shows, from guests, and so on. Now, we're talking with Paul Kessler. It's Keswani, right?
Yep.
Got it right. Okay. Founder and CEO, that's Paul Keswani, founder and CEO of Cushion. Now, one of the things that people don't realize here in the last year is the average bank fees have jumped almost 44% from last year. Overdraft fees grew for over 100%. You know what? And that's because many consumers overdrew their accounts due to COVID. And what's really interesting is just 8% of consumers who overdrew more than 10 times per year account for 74% of overdraft fees. And most of these are middle income consumers. Right? Yep. Now, what Paul's company is doing is they're negotiating away fees, and it makes it easier to get a handle on your finances. Cushion has helped their customers save over $5 million in bank and credit card fees just since 2018. And they've got a long way to go because, hey, they're increasing their customer base. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? Before we get into how everything works, I think it's really interesting about how you went about starting this business. What happened to you? What happened to your folks? Could you share that story with our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. The origin, I would say, is not a very exciting one. It's kind of one of those things where you're dealing with problems in your life, and then you look around and notice that there's a lot of other people suffering. So the quick backstory here is that my parents were having an issue with the top four U.S. bank, and they happened to be out of the country. And it was basically what they thought was a closed credit card that had been hit with an annual membership fee, and then late fees and interest charges that started to compound. And things got out of control. Since they were out of the country, I started to triage this problem with the bank, and they were treating us pretty horribly, which was weird because my parents had been with them for over 15 years. While dealing with that problem, I decided to audit my own finances, found about $400 plus in bank fees that I had accrued during my days as an employee at Twitter because I was traveling a ton. I thought everything was on auto pay, turned out to be wrong. And I just thought to myself, you know, I'm going to probably start a company one day. I don't want to really worry about somebody sticking their hand into my bank account and pulling out cash whenever they feel like it. So I should find a service that could help, you know, protect my money, essentially. And that led to a very deep dive and audit of the consumer finance space a few years back. And I was pretty disappointed with what I found because a lot of the apps were doing very trivial things. Like the levels of automation would do things like move money from account A to account B or send you a generic template to cancel a subscription. But anything that required meaningful work, that work was on you. They'll give you 12 steps, but you have to go execute it. And that's just not what consumers want. People are stressed about their money and finances, and they want to disengage, not engage even deeper. And that's where I found there was a massive opportunity to build a product, not specifically for bank fees, to be honest, Steve. Early days, and by the way, that's still our vision, is not just to negotiate your fees. It's to help manage a lot of your day-to-day finances on your behalf. But we needed a first product that would solve a problem and earn consumer trust. And that's why we started with the bank fee negotiation product. And just to kind of wrap that up here, you know, there's over 100 million people like losing money to bank fees and credit card interest to the tune of $200 billion each year. And until Cushion came along, there was no digital service to do anything about it. So we decided this will be a good first product, get some value for the consumer, and then start expanding our product suite.
That's wonderful. You know, it's really interesting because I've been doing media reports with local and national news for more than 10 or 12 years now. And I would say at least once during the year, somebody asked me to report on how to get rid of bank fees. Yeah. And you know what? The standard process for typical person is, hey, you call the bank and you say, you know what? I've been a really great customer for many, 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 many years. And I've got this fee. I'd like you to waive it. And that person typically can't do it. So they have to go ask the supervisor. And that supervisor has to do it. And sometimes you get the answer of no. And I tell people, just call back. And I've had people call back 6-7 times and they got it done. But that's a lot of work to do that. And I've had some reports from that where people have actually said, you know what, that's a lot of work. It might not even be worth the time for the amount of fees. But one of the things that I don't think people realize is how much fees they're actually getting charged and how much they can get refund. Could you, you know, shed light on that?
So yeah, just two quick comments there. One is, yes, you can call the bank and we recommend it. To be honest with you, if you have something urgent, call the bank. Don't even use Cushion. And we're just happy that people would be advocating for themselves. But the part of calling the bank is I actually had an issue with my bank a few days ago and I got put on hold for 47 minutes and I eventually dropped off the call because it was the middle of a work day. So that part, calling the bank is not always, yeah, it's just unbelievable how you get treated.
Everybody's had that.
Yeah. And so a lot of people just don't want to deal with that. But in terms of, the question that you asked, like shedding a light on how much fees people have, the number one reaction folks get when they sign up for Cushion is, I can't believe how many fees I've paid in the last year. That's usually like before people highlight the money they're getting back, they're typically highlighting how much fees that we've detected. And the reason why is when you think about a fee, you probably think about overdraft or late fee. These are very straightforward, easy names. But there's 15,000 banks in the US or financial institutions. They all have very obscure names for the fees they charge you. So a credit union might charge you a CP item. CP item is actually just an overdraft fee, masquerading in a different name that's easy to sneak into your bank statement. And our system is designed to find all of those and surface them to the consumer. So yeah, part one is just being aware of how many fees you have. And then part two is understanding how to even approach negotiating them. Because calling the bank and telling them you're a good customer, if you don't have leverage in that moment, they don't care if you've been a good customer. But if you're depositing your money into their checking account or you recently made a big payment on your credit card, they're more likely to play ball. So it's not just about using some generic template that you see on a blog post and hoping for the best. There has to be some strategy around how you ask for your money back.
That's great. That's great. So here's the big question. Why would banks be giving back the fees?
So yeah, going back to a point I just made, there are 15,000 financial institutions in this country. That's a lot. And they're all competing for the same pool of users or customers, I should say. And the cost to acquire each customer at a bank can range from anywhere from $200 up to $2,000. So it's quite expensive. And so they know that they have to play ball. They know that they have to give you some money back in order to not lose you completely and then have to pay even more money to replace you as a customer. And that's why Cushion is able to do what it does. And that's why the average consumer is able to call their bank and in some way, shape, or form negotiate these fees. If we were in the UK, for example, where they just have a handful of banks and they all cooperate with each other, this wouldn't be feasible.
You know what? Like everybody understands the overdraft fee, maybe the fee they pay annually or monthly for their bank account, or if they're late on a credit card payment, but they don't understand what other fees could be getting assessed to.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the list of bank fees that exist are endless. Some banks charge you fees for requesting an actual paper copy of your bank statement or to even talk to a bank agent. Some banks will charge that as well. So the list is very long. However, most of the fees that we see, we have over $20 billion worth of transaction data that we've analyzed. It's concentrated into five main fee types. It's overdraft fees, ATM fees, and monthly service charges on the checking account side. And then late fees and interest on credit cards. That's the biggest pool that's out there. And there's a lot of, I think the myths are not really about the types of fees that exist. It's more about what you can do about them. A lot of folks think that you cannot negotiate these fees because they're baked into your terms of service. That's not true. You can negotiate anything. Some people think that your credit card, your credit score might get harmed if you try to fight these fees. It's actually the opposite. If you get late fees waived, you can actually report that to the credit bureau and get a boost in your credit score. And so we've noticed that a lot of the myths are more about people not really knowing what you can and can't do and the after effects. And the main thing is for us is stand up for yourself. Don't just accept these fees. That's the biggest, that's the biggest myth that's out there.
I totally agree with that. Cause you know what, if you're dealing with somebody that's lower middle income where every dollar counts, you know, if you can get a few hundred dollars back, that could make a big difference for paying off debt, saving for retirement, all sorts of things. So I think that's I think that's great advice. You should always fight. So let's talk a little bit about how your service works, and then we're gonna go to break, and then we'll finish out from there.
Yeah. So the way the service works is anybody can sign up for Cushion on our website at cushion.ai. Folks go through a very light onboarding process where we ask you to connect your bank or credit card securely and some basic information about you just to make sure that it's actually your bank account. And then you're just dropped into the dashboard where you can see how much money you've spent on bank fees in the last year. And you can add as many banks or credit cards as you'd like. And then from there, folks can make an assessment of whether or not they want to move forward and have Cushion negotiate these fees for them or not. And if they do, they then have to pick an annual subscription to our service. And we'll negotiate for them. And the way we've set it up is the cheapest subscription is $36, which is the cost of one overdraft fee. But that's for us to negotiate all your fees for an entire year. And you keep 100% of the refunds. And so that model's worked very nicely for both us and our customers so far.
That's okay. So we're going to stop right there because I don't want to talk to you a little bit more about exactly how it works right after we come back from the break. So hold on and we'll be right back. Stick with us. I was going to show you how they go about saving you a whole bunch of money in bank fees. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello and welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting us, your friends and family and associates know about the show. If you would like to get the replays, you can always go to savingwithsteve.us. And you know what? It'd probably be great if you checked out our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV networks. Again, all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. So with that, let's come back with Paul. Paul is here. He's the CEO of Cushion. He just finished talking us through the process by which somebody can go to his website and figure out how much they can save, how many bank fees and credit card fees can get back for, you know, could you go over the fee structure again one more time there, Paul?
Yeah. So the way it's set up today is anybody can sign up and find out how much money they've spent on bank fees for free. If they want to move forward with Cushion negotiating on their behalf, we used to have a model where we would take a commission of the money we got you back. But once you start getting people thousands of dollars back, that commission can get very large. So we switched to a model where we charge upfront annually $36, $48, or $96 per year. And like I said, the lowest tier, $36, is the equivalent of one overdraft fee. And for that, we'll negotiate all your fees for an entire year and you keep 100% of the refunds. And so it's a pretty great deal for the consumer.
That's an outstanding deal. In fact, quite frankly, that's very, very, very inexpensive, especially if you can step in the door and say, hey, let's kick the tires and see if there's anything here for me. And you know, and if they're finding out they got, you know, $400 in fees they can get back and only have to pay $36, that's more than a 10 times return on investment. So I think that's pretty great. So, okay. So let's start talking about, again, how does Cushing go about getting back those fees? I know you're using artificial intelligence to help with that, which sounds really cool to me because I know nothing about it.
I'm happy to jump into explain how this works. So there's a few things that our system needs to do behind the scenes to make this happen for the for our customers. One is, like I said before, detecting the fees. No matter how obscure the name, no matter what the bank, our system needs to be able to find these fees. Because if it can't find them, it can't negotiate them. From there, we have machine learning models that review your entire situation and history transactions with each bank and get a feel for, if I were to negotiate anything right now, what are the best group of fees to go after? Roughly how much money could I get back? What is the right thing to say to the bank at this moment? And from there, it gets to work. The system will then generate the appropriate message or letter that it wants to send to the bank. And the way the negotiation happens is three different channels. For some banks, we have access to secure message portals. So if you have a bank that lets you fill out a form and send an email, our bots are able to go in and do all of that on behalf of the consumer, write up the email, send it to the bank. When the bank responds, we have other machine learning models that read the emails. And this was very important. When we started to scale, we got to a point where we looked at each other and said, either we have to hire 50 people to read these emails, or we need to invest heavily in machine learning. So we started hiring PhDs in the machine learning space that have made this all possible in an automated fashion. So sending secure emails, doing online chats with human agents, and also in some cases, if there's a small credit union that we're not going to build custom tech to support, our system will write up a letter with the customer's signature and mail that out to that specific bank or credit union. And as a result, we're able to cover all financial institutions in the country.
So it's all done electronically. So somebody's thinking, hey, I got to write all these letters. They don't. You're going to do that. They have somebody that's, how quickly does the emails get responded back to? Just curious.
So that's, I think, the big difference. I think folks, and I get it, a lot of people are stressed out. They need this money yesterday. There's two things that I'd say are unfortunate. One is we're always at the mercy of the bank's process and how backed up their queues are. And so for specific financial institutions, we have a direct plug-in, and within 24 hours, 48 hours, we can get your response. And so you see a lot of our reviews are folks who are like pretty blown away that they paid for a package with us, let's say 2 days ago, and today they're getting their first refunds. For other people, unfortunately, we don't have those direct integrations. And so the process can take a few weeks, and we just ask them to be patient, because if we could do things any faster, we absolutely would. But we're also at the mercy of the bank.
So worst case scenario, hey, I'm in best case scenario, they can get some money back in a couple of days.
Yes.
Worst case scenario could be a couple of weeks, couple of months.
Worst case scenario is the bank says no, and that's completely okay. And that's one of the reasons why we have an annual membership, is that our system knows that it's only a matter of time before the bank says yes. And so like all negotiations in life, you don't win 100% of your negotiations. Sometimes you have to compromise. Sometimes you're going to lose a few, but our system knows that even if it loses once or twice, it knows it can use those losses as leverage the third time around and eventually get your money back. And so that's just, I think, something we ask our customers to be patient on, because I know they all want the money immediately. And that's sometimes not feasible.
But that's a good thing, because most people just don't flat out have the time or the desire or the focus to keep going after it and learning from each interaction that they have with the bank and try to get more and more leverage or do it a different way so they can, how to put it, you essentially are becoming a pest for the bank and you're not going away. And that's one of the things that helps the cause.
Well, the thing is that's interesting here. There's two points. One is, unlike a human negotiating, there's no emotion in what our system is doing. It's all math-based. It's all statistics-based. So the bot knows when to push back and when to peel back and not pursue this any further. It doesn't waste time when it knows there's no mathematical chance it's going to get money back. So that's a good thing. Whereas a human could just keep going on and on with no open sight. And two is, even though we might be perceived as a pest to the bank, we're actually doing the banks a huge favor here, because they're not doing anything proactive to appreciate their customers. And so when we get somebody $300, $400 back in refunds, they're far less likely to leave their bank. And we know this from asking people. They'll say, yeah, you know what? I was really upset. Now that I got back $400, I think I'll stick with my bank. And so we're helping them on the retention side, whether they'd like to admit it or not, or whether they've realized that or not yet.
You know what? And help me understand this. How much does it typically cost a bank to get a new customer? Do you know that?
Yeah, it's anywhere from $200 up to $2,000. So if you go into like Credit Karma and they're always recommending, like for example, new credit cards and stuff to you, their affiliate kickback that they get back is $300, $400, $500 per successful signup. So they invest very heavily in customer acquisition.
Oh, I see. I never realized that, because if you think about it, hey, if they're going to give back $400, that's much easier than paying $2,000. So I can see that. So Now, could you walk us through one more time, because I just got one of those viewer alerts that they would like to know again, how you go about signing up on Cushion?
Yeah, so the easiest way to do this is just go to our website at cushion.ai. We have just one sign, a call to action button, just click on it. And folks, we ask people to authenticate using their phone. So instead of trying to remember a password and forgetting it and putting in a weak password, we use phone-based authentication. You plug in your phone number, you verify it, you connect your bank securely. And then within a few seconds, you're in our dashboard and you'll see how much fees you have. And from there, you can assess if you want to move forward with negotiations or just or not.
Yeah. So basically, this is about connecting through your phone, then connecting through your bank. And then that process gets started. And the dashboard is one of those things where you're going to say, hey, you have these fees, we can negotiate this. And you know, if you'd like to do this for a year, it's $36. And what's the next tiers up again?
One's 48 and one's 96. And the difference is how frequently we scan your accounts for fees and the number of negotiations our system will do for you in a given month. So somebody who has $100 in fees, they probably want to use that $36 tier. Somebody who has $1,000 or $500 plus, they'll most likely opt into the $96 package to get the most fees negotiated ASAP.
I see. Okay. No, that's wonderful. Okay. So now, now again, on the fees, one of the things that, you know what, hey, I overdraft, you know, again, I've seen some of my bank stuff and I've had some fights with banks before over erroneous fees. I've never had a fight with a bank over, an overdraft, but these are fees that the bank could legitimately charge you and you know about, but you can negotiate out of them because they want to keep you as a customer. And that's really the size of it.
That is really the size of it. Also, is just, I think, knowing your position with the bank. So, for example, I got hit with two wire transfer fees recently. I had to pay my rent and I was unable to send out a check. So I got hit with two $30 wire transfer fees. And I just immediately emailed the bank and said, listen, my family has a mortgage with you. We're paying above market rates for our interest. So you're making plenty of money off of us. There's no need to nickel and dime me over two wire transfer fees. And they immediately refunded me $60. And so these are the things you'd not expect the average person to know. I just know this because I've spent 4 years super deep on the bank fee space and teaching the stuff to our machine learning models to do this on behalf of everybody.
So that's part of that myth and that misinformation that people don't have a clue about. It is true. If you don't know what you don't know. And this is a big thing, and it could save a lot of people money, get a lot of people money back. And you know, whether somebody's trying to get out of debt or increase their financial situation, I think Cushion could be a great help. So give us that, we're about the end of our time here. Could you give us the website we need to go to in order to get people signed up?
Yeah, the easiest way to do this is just go to cushion.ai. That's our website, and it's incredibly easy to figure out how to sign up from there.
Perfect. Again, go to cushion.ai. And Paul, I want to thank you for joining us here. Paul Keserwani is the CEO of Cushion. I appreciate you being here, and I hope everything's safe and healthy. And look forward to seeing you in the future.
All right. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
All right.
Take care.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Okay, guess what? We had Janice Lifton, author of the book, and I want to show it up here one more time. It's called Banish Burnout, the Toolkit. Wasn't that outstanding? I think anybody in this COVID environment could utilize that, because the tools and the tips in there can make a big difference in your daily life and just eliminate stuff that you're dealing with right now, or maybe you're dealing with at the office. We also had Paul Keserwani. He's the CEO of Cushion. If you're looking to eliminate bank fees, again, this is all about the ins and outs of money. It's about saving you money, and we want to save you a lot of money. So go to Cushion AI, see how much money you can save, and that would make a big difference. Now, again, I want to thank you all for joining us, telling your friends and family about the show. We just got up over 420,000 listeners, and we're still growing. So you can go to savingwithsteve.us if you'd like to see some replays. They're available. Again, our networks and sponsors are all about helping you, you know, solve problems, uplift your spirits, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. If you'd like to join us or get more financial tips, you can go to the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page. You can get you can sign up there. You can go to savingwithsteve.us and get interviews, transcripts. You can also get books and special gifts from our guests. So with that, let's move into our final segment for today. Tax season is a tough time, okay? And there's three things that you want to realize or utilize or do to make sure your tax season is successful for you, okay? Now, the first thing is this. You always want to file early for a couple of reasons. One, you can get your money faster, okay? Two, 20% of people don't file on time. They get that penalty, and then they get hit with the interest, okay? That's a biggie. Now, what's even more important is this, is the earlier you file, the less likely to have a fraudster file a fake tax return in your name, all right? Now, some of the things you want to look out for in this, there's, you know, one of the biggest scams that's come in the last few years is ghost tax preparers. Think of that, ghost tax preparer. What are they? Well, all tax preparers need to have a taxpayer ID number. You can ask every tax preparer for their taxpayer ID number and go to the IRS website and look it up and see if they're in good standing. That's basically what you want to do, okay? If they don't have one, these ghost tax preparers, here's what they do. See, what they'll do is they'll have you come in and they'll say, hey, we can get you the largest tax refund, all right? And they're typically in a pop-up shop somewhere. And what they'll do is they'll inflate your deductions, your income, whatever the case may be, to get you a higher refund. And then what they'll do is they'll charge you a percentage of the refund you get as their fee. They'll want you to pay them in cash. They won't sign the tax return. They won't put a tax preparer's ID number in there because they don't have one. Now, here's the issue with that. I had a couple of clients come in here. They told me what a great return they got. They liked this new person and all that kind of stuff. And one year they said, hey, you know what? We'd like to try somebody else. The person I recommended to them was less expensive. And then they got upset because that person wouldn't get them a tax return similar to what they got the previous year with the same information. And what I didn't realize was the fact that their old preparer who got him a big refund was inflating their deductions, also inflating their income, creating a larger tax return. And you know what? On the third year, they got a notice from the IRS. And you know what the IRS said? Hey, we're going to disallow these deductions unless you can prove them. And we want you to pay this penalty. We want you to pay this interest, and we want you to pay the back taxes. So they got hit pretty hard for something or someone they thought was going to do them right. And when they went to the IRS about it, the IRS says, well, you conspired with them to do this. You're the ones, your name's on the form. Theirs isn't. They don't have a taxpayer ID number. So they were stuck. So don't get stuck. If this happens to you, you know what? Check everybody you're doing business with out, okay? If for some reason right now, you know what? We're seeing people that are falsely filing a tax return in somebody else's name. If you think this has happened to you, you need to immediately call the IRS at 800-908-4490. Let them know what's going on. Hey, if your e-file return has been rejected because there's a similar number or duplicate number that a tax return has been filed under, hey, all you need to do is you need to file an identity theft affidavit. Okay. You can go to the IRS website. It's form number 14039. That's 14039. And again, it's called the Identity Theft Affidavit. It's a fillable PDF, should be really easy to do. And what you're going to do with that is you're going to attach that to your real return and send it into the IRS. If you think something's happened to you, you definitely want to go to identitytheft.gov, figure out what it is. There are some steps you can take there to protect yourself and your financial account. If you've previously contacted the IRS and you haven't got a resolution, you want to contact 800-908-4490. They have teams to stand by to help you. Now, one last thing. You might be getting an erroneous 1099-G. 1099-Gs are what you receive if you would have received unemployment, okay? So it'll say that in box number one, unemployment. Now, here's the thing. If you didn't actually get it personally, but yet you received this, that means somebody filed a false unemployment claim in your name. So what that really means is you're going to have to go to your franchise tax board, your state tax board, and tell them to correct it. Okay, if they haven't corrected, you file your tax return based off your information only that you received with a notification of what's going on. Now, the next thing that you want to do is this. If you find out that somebody's filed a false tax return under your name and your number, you want to get a copy of it. You can go to the irs.gov and get instructions for requesting a copy of a fraudulent tax return. Now, let's get organized for tax season. Best way to get organized is to make a list of what you need. Too many people do not make lists of what they need and they forget stuff. Okay, so first thing, detailed income sources. If you're working somewhere, it's as simple as a W-2, okay? If you have investments, you're getting 1099-Rs, all right? So that means you're getting a 1099 from Schwab, Fidelity, from the insurance company, from the investment firm that you're working with, okay? Now, you can also get a 1099 miscellaneous if you had a lawsuit and you won the lawsuit and you're receiving fee, all right? If you ran a business or you invested in an LLC or a business, you receive a K-1. So you want to get the K-1. If you rolled over an IRA to another from Fidelity to Schwab or an insurance company to another insurance company, you're going to get what's called a 5498. Now, that just tells them that you did it within the respective time period and it's not going to be taxed. If you have rental income, you want to detail that as well. So you got to get all those things prepared. And don't forget, you know what? You got to, if you're retired and you're getting Social Security or pension, you want to make sure you get the 1099s for those as well. Bank statements. Bank statements will talk about income you received. It'll have all the checks you wrote, okay? And it'll also have all the bank interest. By the way, you're also going to receive a deduction number, a 1098 for your deductions in reference to your mortgage interest, okay? Now, you also want to list all your charitable deductions. Keep in mind, the money you gave in cash to a charity, if you detail it, you'll be able to write it off as well as the checks. Make sure you go through all your stuff. Why do you do that? Very simply put, you know what? I've seen so many people that give $2,000 or $3,000 to the church through cash and other things, belongs, what have you. Think about it. That's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 that you won't have to pay taxes on. If you're in a 30% tax bracket, that's more than $1,700 in savings back in your pocket. So don't forget those things. List of medical expenses. List the co-pays, the deductibles, the co-insurances, all of them. Dental stuff, all of it, okay? Because if it adds up to more than 7.5% of your annual income, guess what? You get to write off the difference. Now, mortgage interest, bank fees, property tax statements, and other tax-related documents. Make sure you have all those. You know what? It wouldn't be a bad idea to have a conversation with your tax preparer or somebody in their office to say what other things that you should be bringing based off your situation. All right. Next, one of the things you do want to consider is this. You're talking to your tax preparer. All right. Two questions you want to ask. Write them down, please. Here's what it is. How much should I contribute to my IRA to reduce my taxes? Okay. Because if you have a SEP IRA or IRA or any other plan that you haven't filed your taxes on, guess what? You can still contribute to those accounts. And for every dollar you put in there, you won't have to pay tax on. So that means it saves you 30 cents on the dollar, plus you're saving for retirement. So max it out if you can. Next, hey, talk to your CPA or your tax preparer about your withholdings. Think about this. I talk to people getting their $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 tax return every single year. Okay. And think about that. They overpaid their taxes through their payroll every single month of the year. Fill out a form and February or March, and then they have to wait 2 months to get their money back and they've earned no interest. You know what? If you're some people utilize it to go take a trip, what I recommend you do is this. If you can have your withholdings adjusted, so the amount of money that you're getting back in a tax refund is $100 to $150, or you're paying $100 to $150, it's not so bad, right? But what it does do, it provides you $200, $300, $400 every single month that you could utilize to pay down your credit card, to help out your kids or your grandkids, contribute to your paying off your mortgage, paying off that car, freeing up your life so you can do those things. And if you know what, you want to save it for trips, great. Hey, work out a deal where you can make small payments each every month on the trip. But the best thing is you've got it taken care of. Now, there's a lot of people who said, hey, Steve, where can I get a cheap tax return done? Okay, fine. If you have a basic tax return or you're disabled, you can utilize the Volunteer Income Tax Program. Okay, it's called VITA, V-I-T-A. Okay, it uses IRS certified volunteers to offer free basic tax preparation and e-file to people who earn less than $56,000 or are disabled. Now think of this. The AARP has a foundation, a similar program called Tax Aid. So you want to make sure you're involved with that to save some money and have tax season success. You know what? We had a wonderful show today. It was just outstanding. We had Janice Lifton talk about banishing burnout, stress to success. Wonderful book, great toolkit. I've already given one to my daughter, my son, my wife. They all love it. You're going to love it too. You want to check that out, or at least listen to this show, because she goes through some wonderful tips and tools that you can utilize. Next, we have Paul Keserwani from the CEO of Cushion. Hey, you want to get those bank fees back? It could be $400 that you only have to pay $36. I'm not promoting the product, but I'm saying if I could do that, so can you. So with that, I want to thank you all for joining us. Looking forward to seeing you next week, right here on Saving with Steve. We'll see you now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.